Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, Monday morning at 7:30 on AM 1160.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-430-9105. That's 1-800-430-9105. Call now. That's 1-800-430-9105. That's 1-800-430-9105.
Homes are making a comeback, and your friends at Pyramid General Construction Company are here to help. Looking for a good professional roofing team? Call Pyramid at 773-804-9999. They specialize in replacing shingles, flat rubber roofing, soffit fascia, gutters, and more. Pyramid has been serving your community for over 15 years, and they hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call Pyramid now at 773-804-9999. Let their experts come to inspect your home. Need work inside your home, from finishing basements to adding dormers, kitchens, and bathrooms? They do it all. Call them at 773-804-9999. Senior discounts, payment plans, and major credit cards accepted. So don't put it off another day. Pick up the phone now. Dial 773-804-9999. That's 773-804-9999.
Hello, this is Pastor Wally with Schaumburg Community Church. You know every person loves to receive gifts, but did you also know that every Christian is given multiple spiritual gifts by God? Do not live your Christian life without discovering and using these gifts God has for you. Wednesday, March 13th, Wednesday, March 20th, Wednesday, March 27th, meetings are devoted to gifts of the Spirit at 927 Plum Grove Road in Schaumburg, between Golf and Higgins, 847-925-0000.
Jay Sekulow talks about the issues of the day from a Christian perspective on Jay Sekulow Live, Monday morning at 11 on Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160.
Welcome to Building a Better Brain, sponsored by EEGChicago.com, with your host, Dr. Jim Kowal, on Chicago's Christian Talk Radio, AM 1160. The professionals at EEG Chicago are highly qualified providers of neurofeedback throughout the Chicagoland area. To learn more about this weekly program, Building a Better Brain, or to find a provider in your area, visit EEGChicago.com. That's EEGChicago.com. And now your host, Dr. Jim Kowal.
Through the airwaves over the beautiful Windy City. Good morning, Chicago, and welcome to Building a Better Brain. This is the fourth of our eight-week series that will provide you information on how you can improve your brain and overcome a number of difficulties and blocks that keep you from performing your very best. Today, I'm excited to have Dr. Mary Liesti of the Brain Wellness and Biofeedback Center in Washington, D.C. here with me. Dr. Esty has done some wonderful work in the treatment of traumatic brain injuries and post-traumatic stress, particularly with our veterans. First of all, let me tell you a little about Dr. Esty. Dr. Mary Lee Esty is a licensed clinical social worker and president of the Brain Wellness and Biofeedback Center in Washington, D.C. She has her doctorate in health psychology and specializes in using biofeedback and other complementary and alternative methods to help people overcome problems associated with chronic and life-threatening illnesses. She was the co-investigator in an NIH study on traumatic brain injuries published in 2001 in the Journal of the Head Trauma Rehabilitation Journal. Dr. Esty also worked as a co-principal investigator right here in Chicago at Rush Presbyterian St. Luke's Medical Center, where she did a placebo-controlled double-blind study on the effects of EEG-driven stimulation in the treatment of fibromyalgia, and continued treating fibromyalgia at the Oregon Health Science University and at McLaren Hospital in Flint, Michigan. She is a senior member of the Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, as we know, a BCIA, and a member of the Academy of Certified Social Workers. It is now my privilege to welcome Dr. Esty to Chicago. Good morning, Mary Lee. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. I'm just fine. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. And thank you for agreeing to talk to our Chicago audience. Before we get into the wonderful work that you've done, I'm curious, Mary Lee, how does a social worker get involved in neurotherapy?
Well, as with most people, I think, your personal experience is usually the guide. And I became very interested in what the Menninger Clinic was doing with biofeedback back in the 90s. And, of course, they started in the 60s and 70s. I went out there for a training because I was treating a lot of cancer patients, and they had a week-long program that, on their cancer program. And that included not only physiological biofeedback, but EEG biofeedback. So that was my introduction. And from there, of course, technology, let's see, that was in 1989. The PC technology has grown so much and made really tremendous strides in being able to display to people aspects of their own physiological functioning, including brainwaves, that since that time, it's become quite relatively easy to introduce people to new ways of controlling their own physiology. So I started with myself first. It was enormously helpful. And one thing leads to another, and now all I do is this one particular kind of EEG biofeedback, for which I've been very privileged to be asked to accept an NIH grant, and then other things have followed, and now doing a second study with our veterans, Iraq, Afghanistan veterans, and other veterans in two different studies now for post-traumatic stress and for traumatic brain injury or, you know, post-concussion syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exciting life.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Everybody should have an experience with some kind of biofeedback, even if they think they don't need it. In fact, one of the medics we treated spontaneously wrote a letter to the Deployment Health Clinical Center at Walter Reed while I was treating him, and concluded by saying that he thought that every veteran returning from a combat zone should have EEG biofeedback, whether they think they need it or not.
Wow, that's an endorsement.
That sort of sums it up.
Right. I know you've done a lot of work and research in treating both post-traumatic stress and also the involvement of nutrition. Do you find a connection between these two?
Well, I think nutrition affects everything. Our metabolism, basic metabolism, I think, could be thought of as like the foundation of a house. If it's imbalanced on one corner, you know, the house isn't going to stand very long. It amazes me when I ask people, I always ask in the first session what they eat for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everyone's under different kinds of pressure, and a lot of people don't eat anything. And yet, Discover Magazine about a year ago had a marvelous article on how the large brain that we have is a burden because it burns so much energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An analogy that they use is that the brain weighs about 3 pounds, and they say that it burns 20 times more calories than 3 pounds of muscle.
Yes.
So if we get up in the morning, don't put any calories into our system, especially any good quality food, and we expect the brain to work for us.
That's right.
It's everybody who takes this seriously and starts eating protein at every meal, but especially breakfast, finds that they function much, much better. And the real proof for me is that when teenagers take it seriously, and these are kids who have been diagnosed with attention deficit or hyperactivity deficit or disorder, begin eating protein, they spontaneously say, I can pay attention better in class. I'm not getting sleepy all the time.
That's right. You just have
when teenagers say it, you better believe it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you just have to ask any first grade teacher. They can pinpoint and tell you exactly which children had a sugar breakfast and which ones
right.
have not,
right.
and how they function about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So that's true.
Yeah, if if you eat processed foods, what I call food-like substances, it's possible to chew them, swallow them, and think you've eaten something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work very well. You've got to have really solid, nutritionally loaded food,
mm-hmm.
not empty calories, so the sugar, as you mentioned.
Right. And some of the work that you've done, you mentioned you do one type of neurofeedback. And that's that Flexic system, which I know as the early version of the low-energy neural feedback system that we call LENS, that Dr. Len Oakes has developed. Can you tell us a little bit about that system?
That was the system that was used. there were two versions in the NIH study, which was for mild to moderate traumatic brain injury. I started treating people. See, I was asked in 96 as a result of the conversation with Dr. Adrian Hugh Berman, who was helping set up what is now the NASH, the Complementary Alternative Medicine Division of NIH. I told her about this very unusual stuff I was doing that I thought was really quite new and would fall under their mission. And a year later, they sent John Spencer out, who agreed. And a year later, they asked if I would accept a grant to work with the Kessler Rehabilitation Hospital in this study. It was extremely successful. It was a pilot study, 12 people, and all chosen on the basis that they were never expected to be any better as a result of the passage of time. It was 3 to 21 years after injury. All had been through sometimes multiple traditional rehab programs, but were still unable to work.
Mm-hmm.
So the outstanding result was that of these 12, 7 went back to work at their previous level of functioning, either back to a job or back to full-time college work.
That's impressive.
And which was very impressive. And I thought, great, this is it. This is going to show people. But, you know, change comes slowly. I think even now it's hard for a lot of people to believe that neurotherapy of any kind can really make the differences that it makes.
Mm-hmm.
But we are making progress.
Good.
This was 1989 when I started working with biofeedback. And now we've got Aetna, Cigna, United Healthcare paying for various kinds of biofeedback, especially muscle biofeedback for pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it also for paralysis.
Right. How does this system work when you administer
it? How does it work? What I'm told is that, and I was the one who was able to get money to have Lawrence Livermore Labs test it, that there's a very small electromagnetic field coming through the cables to the scalp, and there is a relationship between the what's called EEG slowing in general, but an imbalance in brainwave function. And when there is an imbalance, there will be symptoms of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Since the system...
So the signal that is coming back to the scalp is in training or helping to stimulate the brain to change the way it's set in a dysfunctional state, and then symptoms go down.
Right.
Dr. Ayubamaya, a world-famous neurosurgeon here in Washington, said the only way he could explain the quick changes he saw in his brain injury patients after I treated them was that it had to be causing the brain to reset its own neurotransmitter state.
Mm-hmm.
It's known that there's a cascade after an injury that is kind of helps protect the brain from further damage. I think of it like a blanket over a fire, so a small area
right.
of the brain may be sealed off neurochemically.
Right.
So he thought that this was helping to remove that blanket so that now the good tissue under that protective cover was now available to communicate with other areas of the brain. And
right.
there has to be a lot of communication in the brain network in order for us to function well.
Okay. Well, I want to continue that after the break. I also want to ask you about the effects that you've had on people's medications that have been locked into the medications and what neurofeedback has done for them. So we'll be right back with Dr. Mary Lee Esty.
Did you know you can safely make changes in your brainwave patterns through neurofeedback, which can significantly improve conditions such as ADHD, minor traumatic brain injury, depression, anxiety, autism, and a host of other problems? The dedicated professionals at EEG Chicago are highly qualified providers who can help improve your life or the quality of life of your loved one. Visit the EEG Chicago website today at eegchicago.com. You'll learn new, exciting information on how neurofeedback trains the brain to function with greater control and stability. By learning to adjust the brainwave activity, you can improve your life through this safe and drug-free approach. Visit the website for locations near you and to contact an EEG Chicago professional. Tell them you are an AM 1160 listener. Ask for a first-time consultation. Visit eegchicago.com and learn how to build a better brain. Have you ever wondered about the magic of the brain's functioning? Did you know you can learn to adjust your brainwave activity with neurofeedback? Neurofeedback safely improves conditions such as ADHD, minor traumatic brain injury, autism spectrum disorders, anxiety, depression, as well as many other disorders. The team of specialists at EEG Chicago are highly qualified providers of neurofeedback. Visit their website for a provider in your area and learn how to build a better brain today. Go to eegchicago.com. The highly qualified EEG providers are dedicated to helping improve your life and the quality of lives of your loved ones through this drug-free and safe approach. Visit their website today at eegchicago.com. That's eegchicago.com. Building a better brain can be a reality in your life. Count on the professionals at EEG Chicago to create a treatment plan just for you. Visit eegchicago.com today.
Welcome back to Building a Better Brain. I'm talking with Dr. Mary Lee Esty from Washington, D.C., who provides neurofeedback treatments at the Brain Wellness and Biofeedback Center in Washington. And we were talking about the type of neurofeedback that she was doing and the fact that it stimulates the brain by using electromagnetic energy. I wondered, Mary Lee, is this type of treatment safe?
Oh, I think it's very, very safe. The Lawrence Livermore Laboratory found, and I've had other laboratories test it since, that the emissions are somewhere in the trillions of a watt, which is so small I can't imagine it. You can't feel it. I think the real proof of that, too, is just the daily clinical things. I've treated people from age 4 to 94, and we've never had anyone have any lasting or even really significant bad reactions to the thing. I used it on myself first, and I've used it on my children, some of my grandchildren. So
wonderful.
I think there's no doubt. And, of course, yes, other therapists are using variations of this now, and I think the clinical experience is quite supportive of that. Plus, we find that even though it's not certainly my goal in our practice here in Bethesda, but people who are on medications often find that they don't need as much medication. Sometimes, and this was quite eye-opening, years ago I was treating a woman who was referred by her neurologist for treatment for seizures, and she was on Dilantin, and the classic sign, I guess, of overdose of Dilantin is to develop a particular kind of rash. And she began to have a rash, so the neurologist lowered the medication. And as we continued treatment, then the rash appeared again, so he lowered the medication again. And in the work I've been doing and am doing now with Iraq-Afghanistan veterans with brain injury and PTSD, we've documented that in the study that was just published in the Journal of Neuropsychiatry and Clinical Neurosciences with the pilot study folks, this tremendous reduction in medication. It's not our goal, but as the brain gets back in balance and is able to produce naturally the things that it needs to function well, the medications become overdoses.
Yes, that's right.
The very first soldier in the study was a really amazing guy. He had survived 9 IED explosions. 3 of them left him unconscious for up to half an hour. So, and he had, of course, many physical injuries, shrapnel in his body, a lot of pain. So when we started, he was on Zoloft, Ambien, Tramadol, Phenergan several times a day, Percocet, lithium, and some others for pain and the headache. Was mm-hmm. terrible. Yeah. After the 6th session, he didn't feel very good. They went to the ER, and they said, oh, you're overdosed. They took him off of most of the pain medication. And he wasn't having the headaches. He wasn't having as much pain. Mm-hmm. By the time we finished, he was on only 2 medications.
That's terrific.
And that was true even 6 months later, and I've kept in touch up to a year later. And that matches the experience I've seen with many, many people who've come in with pain for a wide variety of reasons, maybe whiplash, car wrecks, you know, sports injuries, et cetera. Of course, there are structural problems that need to be helped sometimes by other work, craniosacral work or something, for example.
Yes.
But just reliably, this seems to happen.
Mm-hmm. First of all,
I think it's another way of just saying, well, the brain really is functioning better, so something has changed here.
Right. Do you find in your experience working with post-traumatic stress that any of these medications are particularly helpful?
I think for post-traumatic stress, they can be to help people cope, but I haven't seen anything that convinces me that they help them get better.
Mm-hmm.
I've treated, arson investigators, for example, and certainly the veterans who were all struggling with this. But much to my surprise, not only were they reducing medications, but one of the things they very much like about this treatment is that they don't ever have to tell me things they've been through. And I make that very clear up front. They don't have to talk about traumatic incidents.
Right.
These people in this study that was published had been through intensive treatment at Walter Reed, and yet they were still very symptomatic. In fact, some were referred by their clinicians at Walter Reed, even though they're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at about halfway, they each got 25 sessions. Somewhere around 12, 13, 14 sessions, several of them started just spontaneously talking about some horrible incident that they had been through in combat. And I remember the first soldier just saying, well, wait a minute, why are you doing this? You don't have to tell me anything. He said, well, it doesn't bother me now.
Right.
Now it's a memory.
That's right.
Not having the physiological reaction. He says, I'm talking to my friends. I can talk to my buddies. And it feels okay to talk about it. It actually can help. I don't think they ever talk to their families. They don't want them to know what they've been through.
Right.
Can then talk to their friends.
Mm-hmm. I find in the trauma work that I do with people who have experienced these horrible traumas, they get to a point where they can talk about it and they say, you know, that was very bad. I wish that didn't happen. But it doesn't make me feel like it used to make me feel.
Right. I think what the treatment is doing is uncoupling this strong survival connection that occurs in severe trauma between the amygdala and the hippocampus to just, you know, the brain's first job is to keep us alive.
Right.
So when there's any hint, a smell, a sound that's connected with an old trauma, it's doing its job. It's saying, get out of here. You know, protect yourself, hit the ground, something like that. But when that relaxes so that there's that moment to really evaluate what's going on, then it's a memory.
Right. Now, you mentioned 24 sessions. How often do you do these neurofeedback sessions?
With the veterans, I make an exception. They're young, healthy, you know, or they wouldn't be in the service.
Right.
It's not like our general population. If they can do it, I'll see them 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Typically,
right.
I see people only twice a week, and I want 2 days in between. It seems to actually speed things up to give the brain, the body, time to incorporate whatever changes are taking place.
Yes, I agree. I always put at least a day between, and we'd like 2 days, and normally we do twice a week, but we can accelerate it to 3 times a week. But then the data that I have seen after that, first of all, it's not cost-benefit, because and then you can also have a negative effect because the brain is just can't get acclimated to those kind of changes. So after
psychiatrists who referred people started calling this homeopathic ECT, saying,
"Oh yes,
you know, you have this tiny, tiny input, but you get great benefit from it."
Good. Yeah, we have about a minute left. I want to talk about after you treat people with neurofeedback, do they need to continue their medications?
Buying a new, well, if they're on medication of some kind, of course, we're barring like cardiac meds and things like that, you know, they may need to. And it's our goal is to make life easier, not to, the goal is not to get off of medication. But, you know, we talk about this a lot more. We're writing a new book called Conquering Concussion, and going into all of these issues. So I invite you to look it up. There is a website, conqueringconcussion.net. This started out as a little brochure for my office, but there's so much and so little understanding about what concussion is and what the symptoms are and the many different kinds of treatments that are often needed. We wanted to address those things. On the post-traumatic stress, we prevented 4 suicides in that pilot study out of 8 people.
That's wonderful.
Some of them had tried previously.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with the work that you've done, especially with the veterans and all of those suffering from traumatic brain injuries and other conditions. And I really appreciate you being here this morning.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. And I hope you can tell we have a lot of fun here.
Yes, I can tell that. Yes. Next week, for all of you that have or know someone who has ADD or ADHD, we are going to have Dr. Joel Lubar from the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, with us. He has done some outstanding research on ADD and ADHD and how we can confirm that by using QEEGs. So you will want to hear what he has to say about that and how you can treat ADD without medication. So to get more information, to see firsthand what neurofeedback is about and have all of your questions answered regarding whether neurofeedback is right for you, we invite you to free information seminars held around the Chicago area. I'm doing one next Friday evening at 7 p.m. in Naperville, right off of I-88. And for more information, just email me at drjim@ultimatebrain.com or go to EEG Chicago for other times and locations. Remember, the brain is a pattern engine. It loves to execute patterns that result in thoughts, behaviors, and feelings. Practice those patterns that express love to one another, and you will come to experience feelings of joy and peace. Thank you for listening to Building a Better Brain.
You've been listening to Building a Better Brain with show host Dr. Jim Kowal from EEGChicago.com on Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160. To learn more about today's topic, their Chicagoland locations, seminars in your area, or general information, visit EEGChicago.com. You can also email Dr. Jim with your questions and comments anytime at drjim@ultimatebrain.com. Join Dr. Jim Kowal again next Saturday morning at 7:30 to explore ways to restore and expand your brain's functioning safely and drug-free.